behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Boland.
Ben, as a dad, I can tell you that this is a frustration.
What's that, Scott?
Great event. You know, when you bring a kid home from the hospital, you know, everything's really, really cool. It's fun and exciting and everything. Being a dad is everything they say it is, you know, all the good stuff. But one bad thing about this is that you sometimes have to make a lifestyle change.
And
I had to make a pretty dramatic lifestyle change, and that was it was car related.
Uh-huh.
And that is that I had to get rid of the 2-seat Honda CRX that I had that I adored, loved that car, and I had to go with something more of a family man car, you know, something sedan, you know, something with 4 seats, a trunk, you know, something that was reliable.
Sure.
All those kind of things, right? So you hear countless tales of this happening everywhere that, you know, you had to give up your toy when the baby came home.
It's like a rite of passage.
I guess. And, you know, you can still have that. I guess you could still have that weekend car. You could still have that toy car, whatever. Mm-hmm. But your daily driver, if you were used to driving something that was a little more or a little less practical, maybe, because I know that it was looking back, but it was so much fun. And I did have to give that up. And I kind of got back into it kind of halfway with the car that I drive now. But, you know, I'm kind of the point where I'm looking for maybe a car that's a little even less practical than that as a replacement. You know, so I'm working my way back towards that. But there's always that one moment where, you know, you're thinking, I've got to give up, you know, what I had in the past. You know, is it going to be worth it? Is it, you know, something that I have to do? Can I somehow get by with that 2-seater sports car? Mm-hmm. Is it going to work? And the truth is, no, it's not. But there's some good solutions to this, because it doesn't have to be a plain old boring bread and butter minivan or something, you know, that you have to buy. There's a lot of options out there.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting that we're having this podcast right now. Now, from the top, I'm going to go ahead and admit this. I am not a father of any kids that I know of. I hedge my bets there just in case.
Keep it clean. Family show.
Keep it clean. Family show. And our super producer, Noel Brown, on the ones and twos, also a father.
He is.
And we've talked about this before off the air. You know, my dad had an MG and he had to part ways with it.
Yeah.
When I came along, just because there's not room.
And, you know, there's no resentment. I'm sure your dad doesn't hold any kind of grudge against you. It's just something that you have to do. It's something that, you know, you have to kind of step up. You have to realize that, you know, I can't have a 2-seat sports car anymore. I have to get something that's more reliable. Mm-hmm. Again, 4 seats, trunk, that type of thing.
Sure.
But the options, you know, they're unlimited at this point. I mean, there's so many options. I mean, there's so many different types of vehicles you can choose from. It doesn't have to be a minivan. But that's what everybody kind of migrates towards.
That's
that
the
idea.
Stereotype.
That is the stereotype, and that's one of the vehicles we'll talk about.
I know, buddy.
I know you've got a diatribe plan for that one, I'm
okay,
sure.
Okay, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
Some people might already know what that is. But there are lots of cars and trucks out there that will satisfy the needs that you have. You know, the four doors, the trunk, the safe thing,
sure,
the reliability, all that stuff. The problem is, and what a lot of dads think of, is, you know, is it going to be a cool car? Is it going to be fun to drive? You know, that's important. You know, sporty cars, SUVs, you know, like tech loaded cars, a lot of trucks, they're all out there. You just have to search for them. You have to kind of go into it knowing these are my requirements. How can I kind of work the system? How can I get what I want and also get what the family needs?
Exactly. The way I was going to phrase it, Scott, was how can I have my car cake and eat it too, right?
Yeah, not bad.
And it's not my best. But we've got a list here of some vehicles that have been recommended as these dream cars for dads. But we're going to go ahead and also say Scott and I always add a couple things. And then also none of these companies have paid us to, you know, advertise them or anything.
Oh, no,
like
this
that,
is so. A list from Edmunds.com, and you can search for it and find it. I mean, they all have, all these cars that we're going to list have strong crash test scores. They've got what we'll call family-friendly amenities, I think is what they said in there.
Yeah.
And they seat at least 5 people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's critical, right? The seating thing, because a lot of the sports cars, as I mentioned, are 2-seaters, and that just doesn't do. Or they have a tiny, tiny little back seat. I'm going to throw in one that on my own that has a small backseat, but that's kind of a surprise along the way. Also, I want to say that these are listed in no particular order. I mean, they did it alphabetically in this list, and we're going to go backwards through it, as a matter of fact, because the one that I want to end on is kind of special, I think. It's a really good compromise for some dads.
Completely agree. See if you can guess this while we're going, right?
Yeah, that's right. And the thing is that, as we mentioned these, we're going to talk about the type of dad that they're best for, which is it's kind of a neat little twist to this.
It's
like, you know, the first one we're going to mention is the off-road warrior dad. And then, you know, there's some that are like the tech-savvy dad and you know, vehicles like that along the way. So we'll mention the type of dad that these may be good for. And Edmunds, I think they did a pretty good job of putting this list together.
Well, let's go through and see what our listeners think as well. Starting off with number 10, a.k.a. you saw this coming, the Subaru Outback.
Yeah, the off-road warrior dad. Now, I think this is a good way to say this. And, you know, Subaru has a pretty good reputation for reliability. They have, you know, standard all-wheel drive. And they got lots of ground clearance for, you know, whatever you're going to do off-road. It's, of course, the one we're talking about, the Outback. This is a wagon version, so plenty of room in the back for, you know, carrying things for passengers, lots of cargo room.
Rear-view camera, too,
yeah,
so it's got safety stuff.
Yeah, so a lot of safety stuff and some really neat features. I mean, it's got the adaptive cruise control, and it's got that pre-collision braking system and lane departure warning system. So, you know, the available features, you know, pretty advanced. And the price is pretty reasonable. Now, I'm going to try to mention price as we go through these.
Great. Yeah. MSRP. Maybe?
MSRP. So these are newer vehicles, either 2014 or 2015 vehicles. This one comes in, starts around $24,000. So, you know, not the cheapest car we've ever talked about here, but, you know, that's downright affordable compared to the new sedans, which are what, averaging like $32,000, I think we said. So this is right in there. This is not a bad option for somebody who, I don't know, is maybe giving up that two-seater Corvette.
Ouch. Yeah.
Maybe not a Corvette. I mean, to go from that to that, it's a little tough.
That's a fall right there, man.
I guess
a fall from grace.
Let's move on to number 9, which maybe would be a good replacement for a Corvette driving dad.
Yeah, you think so?
Maybe.
The Porsche Cayenne, that's for the upscale enthusiast. And they do specifically shout out Porsche 911.
Well, yeah, that's right. If you drive a 911 and you have a sudden need for a family vehicle, let's say, I mean, you probably know it's coming. But you know, so this one, I think it retails for around $50,000. So doubles the price of the previous pick. They don't
get two Subarus.
Yeah, get two Subarus. Good point, Ben. But then again, this is a high-end SUV, and it has so many available safety features, like, you know, like parking sensors, a rear view camera, blind spot warning system,
right?
Everything you would expect in a luxury vehicle. But again, it's a Porsche with a seating for, you know, four or five people.
Yeah. Well, it's not a 911, but it is a good compromise, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. I would say so. And, here's one that goes up a step from there. And I promise we're not going to keep getting more expensive as we go through this list.
Right. Yeah.
But this one happens to go way up in price again.
So Scott, what do you get if you're the high roller dad?
You would get the Mercedes-Benz S-Class. Now, the reason that they're recommending the S-Class. Now, this is a high-quality car. Of course, it's expensive. This thing starts around $95,000. So, not for everybody.
But you get a lot for it. And the S-Class is a great vehicle. It's got the adjustable air suspension, so you have a ride that is smooth as molasses, you know, but twice as fast.
Oh, they say it floats over the road like a ghost is how they put it in the article.
Yeah, right. And it's got all these safety features, including the driver inattention warning system, which to me is a great idea, but it's also scary that we have to include stuff like
that. And
that's
just one thing. The seats in this car have 6 massage settings for the seats. I mean, that would put me to sleep if I was driving a car that massaged me as I was driving, I think.
Right. Yeah. It's got the custom interior cabin and.
Oh, that's a good point. You said custom. Now, this is something that, that stands out, I guess. Now, I didn't know this until I read this article, but it says that, if you're the type of person who's worried about some of the, you know, the lower or the lesser Mercedes levels, I guess, creeping into your S-Class, you know, with some of the, some of these features and options, right? Don't worry about that at all, because the sumptuously furnished cabin is bespoke to the S-Class alone. Yep. So the S-Class interior is the S-Class interior. You're not going to find that on the what they call the lower level or the lesser level Mercedes vehicle. So again, this is for a fairly discerning dad, I will say. I mean, the high roller is right. I mean, the price is with a price point around $95,000 as a starting point. That is not for everybody. And I promise we're going to get back down to the real world here in just a minute. But since we're talking about some that are expensive, this is where I'm going to throw in one of my own. How about that?
All right, throw it in.
All right, this is a surprise to you because you didn't know about this, but and this will raise some eyebrows, I'm sure.
Okay.
But we've already talked about one that's $50,000 and then $95,000, and we're going to back it down. But
yeah.
Here's one that falls right in between. This one is $65,000, but it's something you would never guess would be a potential for a father.
All right, lay it on me.
A Lotus Evora.
Oh, come on. All right, go on.
Well, the thing is, the Lotus Evora has a back seat, and that's pretty unusual for a Lotus car, a brand new Lotus car. Now, it has exotic looks, definitely.
Yeah.
But it also has a very reliable Toyota drivetrain. It has a 3.5-liter engine with anywhere between 276 and 345 horsepower, so it depends on the level that you get, right?
Mm-hmm.
It gets 20 miles per gallon in the city, 28 on the highway.
That's true.
Not terrible. Not great, not terrible. But the thing is, it has 2+2 seating. And the trick with 2+2 seating is those two adults in the front are plenty comfortable.
I mean, sure.
As far as it goes in a Lotus, because those are bare bones to begin with. We know all about Lotus and the lightweight and, you know, the Colin Chapman philosophy and all that, right?
Right.
But in the back, now that those kids, they have to be pretty small kids because I've seen photos, of kids in the back seat in car seats. And, you know, we're talking about like 2-year-old kids in car seats.
Yeah.
Their heads are almost at the roof line. And if you see photos of an adult back there, they're usually kind of bent over and hunched over and, you know, they're crammed in there. So there's no way that, you know, even two teenagers are going to fit back there. We're talking about kids that are very young, like under 10 years of age.
Right. That's why I gave you the, oh, come on.
I know.
Scoff.
I know. I mean, I guess that +2 means occasional passengers.
Well, there was a designer, way, way back in the golden age who figured out that we did a show on this and I don't remember why the name is escaping me, but there was a designer way, way back in the golden age who figured out that one of the reasons a lot of guys weren't buying more sports cars is because there wasn't a back seat and, you know, they couldn't rationalize it to their family. Mm-hmm. And so they added in what was essentially dummy back seat that didn't really have room for, mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, I can't come up with it either.
The designer said, I don't care if a person can fit there. Just put a back seat in the car.
The fact is it's there.
Yeah. The fact is that it's there.
And they can justify it. And then it becomes another purchase instead of someone saying, that's not for me.
Right. Instead of someone saying, I can't believe you're getting that toy. We have a family.
All right.
Okay. All right. So let's move on.
Let's back it down just a little bit here. And, this one starts around $41,000. It's the Lexus RX 350, and this is for, I like this, for the cranky driver.
Yeah, this made me laugh the first time I read it. I'm still chuckling a little bit now because they said, cranky dads are easily irritated, and boy, do they love to complain. And the vehicles they drive are often the major sources of annoyance. So this is apparently for the dad who doesn't necessarily like cars.
Okay, Ben.
That's what I got from this.
When I read this, I unfortunately am finding out that I may be a cranky dad.
What?
Because I found myself talking about road noise and things like that in my car recently. Like I can't hear a phone call in the car. Not that you're supposed to be talking on the phone or anything like that, but even hands-free, I can't hear what's going on. There's so much noise that it interferes with things like that. And not just that, I mean like conversations within the car. It's just as the car ages. I mean, it seems like it's getting louder and louder.
Are you talking about high speeds?
I am not talking about necessarily high speeds, just road noise in general. I mean, even at low speeds. So this says you'll frequently hear them talking about grievances like road noise or unrefined ride quality, things like that. And I'll be darned, Ben, I'm talking about stuff like that occasionally in my car now. And I don't mean to. It's just, it's happening. And I don't think I'm necessarily a cranky dad.
No, you see, well, you know, you seem like a pretty cool guy to me. We've known each other for a number of years.
I'm putting you on the spot. I don't mean to do that because, you know, as soon as we leave, you might say, yeah, he's definitely cranky.
You're not generally a complainer. How about that?
That's, I can live with that. How
That's
about that?
True.
Now, the thing is with this, this RX 350 from Lexus, mm-hmm. It has a very smooth ride, I guess. So mm-hmm. any kind of imperfections in the road or whatever is, you know, kept at bay. Mm-hmm. And the cabin, I guess, is really something nice. I guess it's, you know, they call it an oasis.
Right. So what we're talking about then is the feel of a luxury car ultimately, because that's one of the big differentiating factors between a luxury car and then something a little bit more affordable is this sense of being sealed off.
Exactly right. And it has lots of options as well. I mean,
sure.
There's parking sensors and blind spot monitoring mm-hmm. systems, rear view camera, adaptive cruise control, pre-collision warning systems, brake priming systems. Mm. It's got all the, you know, the bells and whistles. And, you know, $41,000, it sounds like a pretty big hit. But when you think about the average sedan is like $32,000 something, that's not terrible. I mean, once you start loading up a few options on your average sedan, you're right around $40,000 already.
That's a very good point, man.
I mean, we were looking at Jeeps the other day. And
yeah.
Those are somewhere right around $40,000 if you get them, you know, with plenty of options, you know, the bigger wheels or whatever,
right.
Fender flares.
Everything is just getting more expensive.
It really is. I mean, it's passing us by, Ben. We're here in the podcast studio and it's passing us by.
I heard this. This is just a little sidebar here. I recently had one of those conversations. Nothing will make you feel older, ladies and gentlemen, than having a conversation with a young person about the price of gasoline.
Oh, that does it for sure.
Yeah. Now, Scott, you know, there's a bit of an age difference between us. Mm-hmm. And we've had a similar version of this conversation before, but I was talking to a friend of mine who is, in her early 20s, right? Mm-hmm. Great person. We hang out. We work together on stuff outside of my day job. But we were talking about gas prices for some reason. And she said, you know, I really enjoy like this Quick Trip here. That's where I go because they're always a few cents less. And I had this moment where I said, man, I used to love just filling up my entire tank and then just driving around. You know, I might drive to Alabama sometimes because just a few hours away. But that's back when gas was, you know, 85 cents. And then the look that she gave me, God bless her, as we say down here in the South, but the look that she gave me just made me a cranky dad for a second.
Was this like, she's looking at you like you're probably driving a Model T or something?
Yeah, like gas was 85 cents. What country was this?
Yeah, exactly. I've got a similar tale, I guess. You know, that's mm-hmm. about what it was when I started driving. And, you know, I talked about this just recently with somebody. I think it was my brother.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, 6 years younger than me. And there was a dramatic difference in the price of fuel between when I started driving and when he started driving. And it's only gone up. I mean, you and I have talked about this so many times.
Yeah.
The prices in Europe are so much more expensive, et cetera.
Right.
And it's just, you're right. That does make you feel old quick.
It's going to be like this with cars because I'm just having that moment where I'm thinking $40,000 for a Jeep.
Yeah, you're right. That's absolutely ridiculous. But let's just move on with our list here. How about that? And we'll do a few quick here.
Yeah. And I say this stuff, not as some sort of meditation on aging, but to get back to the idea that prices do matter, which takes us to number six. Scott, what's the MSRP on this before we tell people what it is?
$38,000. Now, $38,000 sounds like, again, a pretty big hit, but
yep.
Let me tell you what you're getting for that. This is a Hyundai Genesis, and we're talking about the sedan, not the coupe, the sport coupe. We're talking about the big four-door sedan, and this is for the smart shopper dad. And smart shopper is the right term here because I've seen these on the road. I've actually gone to a dealership and kind of crawled around one of these before. They're a beautiful car, honestly. I mean, I wouldn't.
Yeah, they're cool.
You know, 10 years ago, you wouldn't have expected something like this from Hyundai, but, or maybe even a little bit longer. But, recently, Hyundai has really come around with their luxury cars, I guess. And the thing is that this is a lot of luxury for a Hyundai price. And that's the best part about this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that comes back to the smart shopper, Deb, because you get a lot of car for very little cost, relatively, in this case.
Right, yeah. We're talking about a 3.8-liter V6, 333 horsepower, 291 pound-feet of torque. That's just one of the variations. So,
but let me tell you the best thing about this thing, and having been around these and sat in one.
Yeah.
It, and this article is exactly right. It says it has an opulent cabin with plush ride quality and a generous selection of amenities. That's an understatement, Ben. Inside, these things are really, really plush. They're amazing. You would be surprised what you would get for your money in a Hyundai, this Genesis in specific, versus going with another luxury brand, you know, and what you're going to pay for the same exact amenities and the same exact luxuries.
Now, here's something that I think we should address right now, Scott, which is that so far we've been talking about some luxurious automobiles. We've been talking about some that are, I guess, tech savvy is a fair way to say it.
Sure.
But for some people, right, going back to that stereotype of, oh, you got to buy a minivan. For some people, one of the worst things that can happen if you have to give up your ride is if that ride is a pickup truck.
Ah, the utility aspect, right?
Yeah.
All right, so this one is for the do-it-yourselfer, Dad, Ben, and this is the Honda Ridgeline.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, I do like the looks of the Honda Ridgeline. I always have. But the thing is that this one has seating for five, believe it or not. I mean, it's a comfortable ride, according to this article. I've never had a ride in one of these things, but, again, long wheelbase. It's, you know, got a nice heavy suspension, so I'm sure that it softens quite a bit of you know, the road hazards that are out there, the potholes. And
right.
Such.
Yeah.
But it's also a very practical decision because, it drives a lot like a car. And I didn't know that. I mean, I knew that it was built on a car chassis, but I never really thought of this big vehicle as driving like a car. And they say that it's really easy to manage. It's really easy to handle. And it's just a good, compromise, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
If you do have to give up, you know, something that's a little more, utilitarian, like that old pickup truck that only seats, you know, two people or three people on the bench seat.
Right.
You know, this one has the extra cabin space for additional passengers and, you know, child safety tethers and all that stuff. I mean, that's all there in a brand new reliable package. And the MSRP on this one starts right around $29,000.
Yeah, which is a great buy considering that this has a lot of bells and whistles standard that would normally be either options or unavailable on a similar car.
Yeah, I mean, even a rear view camera in a pickup truck. And, you know, just even 3 or 4 years ago, that was pretty unheard of. I mean, it would be an option maybe, but as a standard feature, that's pretty nice. And again, this whole thing with, you know, it being nimble and relatively easy to drive, you know, like in a, you know, in a shopping mall parking lot. You know, that's a convenience factor that I think a lot of people will consider when they're looking at the Ridgeline.
All right, man. So we're live here in the studio. How do you want to do this?
Well, Ben, I know it's going to be a throwdown moment here for you. So, do you want to introduce it or I'll introduce it and just let you go about that?
You know what? Why don't you go ahead? I'm going to ride shotgun with you on this one. I might step in for a few remarks.
Fair enough. All right. So I will tell you what number four is on the list right now. It is the Honda Odyssey. And, Ben, you're sitting there with your arms crossed and a mean look on your face, to say the least, right? Now, we've talked about this so many times, and this is a questionable pick. I'll agree, because this is for what they call the proud father. This is like they say it's the guy that has dreamed about being a dad since grade school. You know, the kind that that plans the wedding, that kind of guy, right?
And there's nothing wrong with being that kind of guy.
No.
That's a fantastic kind of father to be, and that's what every father should be, really.
Absolutely. I agree. But, you know, as far as being a questionable pick, I'll tell you why, because this is kind of the stereotype. You know, you pick the minivan. Again, starts around $29,000, which is a surprise. I thought they were more money than that, but, you know, it's a reasonable price. Seats up to 8 passengers. It's fuel efficient. It's nimble, I guess, for a minivan, I suppose. I mean, they say that, you know, the handling is one of the really good characteristics of the Honda Odyssey. And it's got one cool feature that I didn't know that it had been.
Or what's that?
An integrated vacuum cleaner. So, you know, when you've got the kids in the back and like we mentioned in the past, the rats in the Prius thing. That would not be a problem. You'd be able to vacuum up all the crumbs from the kids and no worry about rats. All right. So you're looking at me like I'm crazy. Tell me why this is not a good pick.
Okay. This is not a good pick, for numerous reasons. The first one being that on the road, a Honda Odyssey is for some reason continually my nemesis. I know that they have great handling because they always manage to get in front of me and then slow down. Mm. So, and it doesn't matter how much space is between the car.
So great handling, great braking.
Right. You could get a Town and Country. You could get so many other alternatives to this vehicle. And I want it to be said, I love Honda as a company, Scott, and I do not say that lightly. They make amazing vehicles. I'm not a fan of the Odyssey. It's no secret. I've made it no secret here. It's primarily for some personal differences that it appears I have with every Honda Odyssey driver.
For some reason.
For some reason, you know, maybe it's me. I'm just saying that there are so many other things on this list that you and your children would probably enjoy more. Now, if you, of course, if you prefer the Honda Odyssey and you drive it and you have a great experience with it, then, you know, more power to you. I definitely wish you the best.
And we'll leave it at that. How about that?
It's probably good for us to leave.
I would say so because you're getting red in the face here. I can tell you're ready to you're ready to explode on this one.
Okay, sorry. I made it weird.
The day will come when we do a complete Honda Odyssey podcast. You know that, right?
I would love to. I've tried to make peace with it.
All right,
but everybody has a car like that. That just happens to be mine.
Let's buzz through these next two and get to number one because I'm excited about number one.
But, okay, so what does the Hypermiler get?
The Hypermiler dead. Now, this one starts around $26,000, which is a surprise.
Yeah.
Because this is the Ford Fusion Hybrid. And I didn't know that you could pick up a Fusion Hybrid for this low price, but that's where they start at, around $26,000. The thing is, you can get 47 miles per gallon city and highway in this. So it's it's a great buy if you're somebody who's fuel conscious, I guess.
Right.
You do a lot of errands or whatever. Perfect purchase for that. And the thing is about this one, they want to make sure that everybody realizes that the author of this article says it's not a frumpy hybrid vehicle. It's got good styling. It's got a really nice interior. It's loaded with features. And some, you know, some optional equipment as well. You know, like the Ford MyKey system is standard in this, and options that you can get are things like rear view camera, blind spot monitoring system, rear cross traffic alerts, which is nice, the driver drowsiness detection, which is another really good one, and the lane departure warning with lane assist. So this thing is loaded with technical features and, again, a relatively reasonable price, good mileage. And good looks.
Now, let's go ahead and up the stakes one more time to the next item here, the Ford Focus Electric, Scott. And what kind of dad would that be for?
That'd be for the early adopter dad, Ben.
Yeah.
So first on the block to have one of these, right?
Right, yes. And now, because this is a full electric vehicle, we know that there are some, you know, there are some difficulties with some of the early versions of that technology.
Sure. Yeah, there are some cons to owning this vehicle.
That's the perfect way to say it. And one of those would be the range that you can use, right? The range which is available to you on one charge. But if you're a father with a short commute, then this is totally worth the dream of going electric, especially, you know, you live in an urban area or something, so you're not driving more than 100 miles a day.
Yeah, that's right. It's perfect for somebody like that. And there's some, you know, pros to owning this as well. I don't want to just be negative about it because, you know, this car, it starts at $35,000. So, you know, it's a little pricey, but again, for a full electric vehicle, that's not all that bad. And again, loaded with tech stuff. It's got responsive handling. It's got what they call a high quality cabin. And again, all these tech amenities that come along with owning an electric car, a modern electric car. So on the top of the list of standard features is this, the Ford MyKey system, which we just mentioned in the previous car, right?
Yep.
But they want to point out here that that can be used for parents when the kids become teens and they can later use it to set parameters like, you know, a maximum speed or, you know, even that, whether they do like a distance thing, like you're only able to travel a certain distance from the house or.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, in a way it is. We've talked about that, you know, kind of 50-50, like is it good, is it bad?
Yeah.
You know, the limits the parents can set.
Right, right. And on a tangentially related note, I'd like to draw everybody's attention to an older podcast we did on driving and age, and it's specifically about how old you should be before you have a full driver's license,
yes.
Right?
So all the stuff we've kind of touched on these elements as we go through here. Now, we're to the number one, Ben, and I'm excited about number one. I told you all along that I was, and we did this list in reverse order for this reason. Because I think this is a good choice for some dads and a lot of dads in our audience. Because, mm-hmm. you know, the back and forth conversations that we've had with them, a lot of these guys are muscle car aficionados. They're excited
Perfect.
About it.
Yeah,
And that's exactly who this car is for. It's for the muscle car aficionado dad. And if you have to give up, you know, that that kind of fun toy, you can maybe replace it with another fun toy. Mm-hmm. And this definitely would be. And it's the SRT8. Dodge Charger. And before you say, you know, like, I can't afford that or whatever.
Right.
It starts around $44,000, which I know, again, is kind of pricey.
Sure.
So we're going back up the scale here again. But again, consider that average sedan cost with, you know, kind of the plain vanilla, you know, sedan that's 32,000 and some change. You know, add a few options, you're right up around 40,000. This one starts around 44,000. So just get the bare bones version. And you've got a fun toy.
You can also buy it used.
Oh, that's a good point, Ben. Buy it used. I mean, why am I not even thinking about that? That's a brand new price. So buy this used because there are used SRT8 Dodge Chargers out there already. And this thing has got the Hemi engine. It's a 6.4 liter, 470 horsepower. Again, it's a full-size sedan. So, you know, you've got four doors. You've got seating for five.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool-looking car. I mean, I know that it comes in some crazy colors. So, you know, pick and choose there wisely. But, you know, if you've got a lot of errands to run or whatever, this may be a fun way to do it.
Yeah. And one of the only cons or the big problems you'll run into is when your kid is starting to drive, this is the car they're going to want to drive.
Yeah. Maybe this is the one that, you know, when the kid becomes of driving age, you may decide that it's time to sell.
Right.
Yeah. No because this really would be a fun toy. And I'll be honest, I didn't know that they were up to 470 horsepower in these things because I see them on the road all the time. There's a lot of SRT8 vehicles around here.
For
just
sure.
SRT vehicles in general of all kinds. But the Charger, I just had no idea that they're up to 470. And for a family car, I mean, if you want to call it that, because this could be a family car, this is not a bad pick.
Absolutely. And we'd also like to hear from you because, as we know, we've got a lot of proud parents in our audience, and we know that quite a few of us car guys have gone through that moment where you say, well, what can I get? And also, you know, not get kicked out of the house for buying.
There's a compromise. And as
right.
I spoke earlier, I mean, you know, you're happy to do it because that's what comes with having a family. But, you know, at the same time, you're going to find that you're going to have that desire to have that fun toy back again.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to do? What are you going to use to fill that spot in your heart?
Yeah, that's, you know what? That's not an outrageous way to say it. No, of course, a lot of the stuff on this list is not going to be for everybody. And ultimately, as a car buyer, it's up to you to see what you want to do. One of the things that my uncle did, which was great, is that he hid one of his cars. He had a little two-seater. I think it's a Z3. It's really nice. Used.
Stashed it away in
Just stashed it away.
Storage area?
Yeah, because they didn't have room in the garage. Mm. So, you know, he had like a daily driver, and then his wife had, my aunt had a car as well, and they would just keep it in their two-car garage. And he paid for storage space and hid this thing. And then when the kids were out of high school, he started driving it again.
Now, this is the kind of thing that leads to divorce.
They're still together.
Oh, that's good. That's
well,
good
she
news.
Knew about it, too.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, he didn't spin some weird story for her. But I think it was primarily, from what he told me, it was primarily so that he could keep his kids away from it.
Oh, that's good advice.
So they didn't know that he had it for a while.
I understand. Well, I'm glad it worked out well for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
It worked out well for them.
Yeah, and we hope that anybody in a similar situation has had an equally good time working this stuff out. So let us know what you think the ideal dream car would be for dad. Or let us know, you know, if you had this situation happen and you had to make a car switch, tell us how it went. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. You can check out every podcast we've ever done, including the one about driver's licenses, on our website, carstuffshow.com. And send us an email directly. We always love suggestions for things to cover in the future. Our email address is
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.